Father, I want to thank you for yet again answering our earlier prayers for a blessing upon Sabbath school and church. And now, Lord, from the sacred desk, we need to hear the voice of Jesus speak to our hearts and minds. So take control of this portion as you have the others. And may you receive the honor and glory you deserve. So, Lord, bless each person who has come. Above all else, let the calming peace of heaven rest on this congregation, so that minds will be open and hearts will be open to receive the gifts you have for us today. And thank you for hearing this prayer and answering it, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Bill Hybels has an interesting experience shortly after a baptismal service one day in his church. He writes, "I bumped into a woman in the stairwell who was crying. And I thought this a little odd since the service was so joyful. I asked her if she was all right. And she said, 'No, I'm struggling.' She said, 'My mom was baptized today, and I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. The reason I'm crying is because I came this close to giving up on her. At the 5-year mark, I said, 'Who needs this? God isn't listening.' At the 10-year mark, I said, 'Why am I wasting my breath?' At the 15-year mark, I said, 'This is absurd.' And at the 19th-year mark, I said, 'I'm just a fool.' But I just kept trying, kept praying. Even with weak faith, I kept praying. And then she gave her life to Christ, and she was baptized today. I will never doubt the power of prayer again." And so I ask you this morning, are you persistent in your prayer? And the title of our sermon is Passionate, Persistent Prayer. And we're going to answer 5 questions today. Four simple questions. Number 1, pray when. Number 2, pray why. Number 3, pray how. And number 4, prayer results. And so I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to a common known parable found in Luke 18. And children, I want you to open your Bibles and follow along as we read this beautiful prayer parable found in Luke the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. So everybody turn there with me so you can follow along and listen carefully. There is an incredible message. By the way, in these 4 questions, we're going to look at before this parable, then we're going to look at the middle of the parable, and then we're going to close with the very end of this parable. And I have a feeling it will be a very big blessing to us today. Are you ready? All right, here we go. "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him and said, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. And then the Lord said this, hear what the young unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? And so we see, first and foremost, pray when. And in order to answer that question, notice the previous chapter of Luke 17. And go with me there to verse 24. And here's what it says. In fact, go with me to verse 20. Let's start at 20. And by the way, in your Bibles, is there a title above verse 20? What does your title say above verse 20? The coming of the kingdom. Okay, the coming of the kingdom. Or we would call that the second coming of Jesus Christ. Ah! Notice the context of where the parable is found. It is found just after He told them about the coming of the kingdom of God in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, look at verse 24. For as lightning flashes out of one part of heaven and shines to the other under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in this His day. But first He must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For they were eating and drinking in marriage. I think you get the point. Maybe you never noticed before, the context of this parable is the what? The context of this parable is the last days. And what does Jesus say to us? Here's what He says. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Anthropos is the Greek word there for man. It means mankind. Mankind includes womankind. More than ever in the last days, prayer is called for. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, this word. I guess I don't want you to notice that word. I want you to notice point number two. Pray why? Now that we know the context, pray when? Pray especially in the last day. Pray why? Notice what it says. We already read it, but let's read it again. Verses 6, 7, 8. Here's what it says. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now, let's stop there. Has that ever caught you by surprise? You read that, you looked at it, did you stop and say, wait a minute, why does He want me to listen to the unjust judge? He wants us to listen to the unjust judge because verse 7 says, and shall not God avenge His own elect who cry out to Him day and night? For if an unjust judge who doesn't fear God and doesn't care about man will finally give in to this woman, then what about a God who loves so much He died for us? Pray why? And shall the God not avenge His own elect who cry out to Him day and night, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. In other words, He uses in this parable the unjust judge to compare with God in heaven. Our God is not like this unjust judge. He is totally different. In fact, take a look at this word here. I like this. This word, ekdikasis, is the Greek word in verse number 6 for avenge. Well, what does it mean, he'll avenge his people? Well, it means they'll vindicate them. It means that he will bring retribution upon those who attack them. It means he'll avenge, revenge, vengeance. He will punish and deliver his people. You know, we got a lot to be thankful for. Do you understand in the last days we're going to face trials that we never thought existed? Do you know some of you have already gone through some of these trials and are going through some of these trials right now? And I have good news for you. It's only going to get worse. In fact, I'll tell you for me, and maybe this is not a big thing to you, but this church started with ministers that didn't get a paycheck. This church is going to end with ministers that don't get a paycheck because there won't be money for a paycheck. Then you'll find out if I'm sincere or not. And at this very time is the time that we should be persistently and passionately advocating to the throne of grace through prayer. It is more important now than it's ever been before. Why? The context of this parable takes us to the very last days, and we need deliverance from our adversary. And so in this parable at this time, we are introduced to pray when? In the last days, especially. And pray why? Because he will avenge us. And we are going to need avenging. Notice what it says. He, Satan, this is from Christ Object Lesson 166, is continually working to misrepresent and accuse you, to deceive and destroy the people of God. And it is for deliverance from the power of Satan. Here it is. This encapsulates this incredible parable. She writes in Christ Object Lessons, and it is for deliverance from the power of Satan and his agents that in this parable, Christ teaches his disciples to do what? To pray. I didn't like that. To do what?
Pray.
You know, you're being hounded by an adversary. I want to tell you, the minute I got the email from Brian, who will be here next Sabbath with his wife, he said, "Pastor, we took down the sanctuary and it's so old, it was up for 20 years. He said the veils disintegrated. Did you see how beautifully ornate those veils were? They had gold angels embroidered in the purple and the blue and the scarlet." And he said, "I called my stepmother in Tennessee and she came up here to help make new curtains." And I thought to myself, how incredible this is, the timing of this sermon, the timing of everything. First of all, why did they disintegrate? Because Satan does not want this to happen. We are going to do evangelism in a different way than it's ever been done before. And because we're going to unveil who Jesus really is through the furniture and the sanctuary itself and each piece of furniture. His character is incredibly portrayed in vivid colors when you look at the sanctuary and study it. And when you see the titles of the sermon that came up, that each one of the speakers came up with, it's just I got goosebumps. But it told me we better brace ourselves. So next Sabbath is skip lunch and pray Sabbath. Why? Because we've got to enclose, encapsulate, encirculate, encircle us with prayer. Because we have an adversary. And he is determined to destroy us. He is determined to misrepresent us. He is determined to get us off course, to get us so discouraged we give up. How many of you are facing a trial? How many of you here are struggling with a sin, a secret, a sickness, relationships? We should be petitioning persistently and passionately the throne of grace. And by the way, you know when passion comes in? Passion comes in when something bad has happened. You know, a long time ago in my ministry, I talked to Jenny, we were talking, a long time ago, I realized that bad things are important to happen to all of us. Why? It's the only thing that keeps us spiritually toned. When we become complacent and nothing's going wrong, I'm worried about me or you. I'm serious. This whole parable was written because Satan is trying to do everything he can to misrepresent, accuse, deceive, destroy God's people. And therefore it was written so that Jesus taught his disciples in the last days to pray. Pray. Now, it's not a dead horse, okay? It isn't a dead horse, but Wednesday we practice prayer and fasting. I hope you're participating. It'd be nice to see more of you coming at 6 o'clock in the morning or at noon or at 6:30 in the afternoon to pray. Why? Because we need to be involved in more passionate, persistent prayer. This is the last days. Especially because we've got 4 young people and a 9-year-old child preaching a series of meetings here at this church. And they need prayer coverage. Well, let me move on. Pray how? You already know the answer to this. It's more obvious than ever. But let's look at verses 1 through 5. See, we looked at before the parable, then we looked at the end of the parable. Now we're going to go at the beginning of the parable, and we're going to end with the last text of the parable. And you'll see that we must be involved in passionate, persistent prayer. Here's what it says. Then he spoke a parable to them that men and women and children always ought to pray and not lose heart. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. There was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, give justice for me from my adversary, and I will, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor I regard man, yet because of the widow troubling me, I will avenge her, lest her continually coming, she wearies me. And then Jesus said, listen to what he said. Do you think that's the way God operates? Do you think that's the way God operates? No. No, it isn't. And the people who have answers to prayers are the one that pray more passionately and persistently because it worked. Because it worked. So let's take a look at verse number 1. That word in my Bible, verse number 1 says, always, always. In the Greek, it means at all times, always, evermore. Can't say it any better than that. And then when we go down to verse 5, we come to this word in verse 5, telos, and listen to this. That, by the way, that is because the widow, I will avenge her less by her continually coming. Continually. Listen to this. You'll love it. The Greek word continually there, telos, means to set out for a definite point or goal. Can you see her? That's it. I'm going to get this thing worked out if it kills me. You know, how many of you were raised on story hour or your children, you know? Some of you are looking blank at me. Story hour is a Seventh-day Adventist children's program that used to make tapes. Now they make CDs. When I was a brand new Seventh-day Adventist, I was a young adult driving around listening to those children's stories. And in there, they had the persistent woman. And I'll never forget it to this day. I will never forget it. And they acted out as they also read the words from the Bible in the children, for the children. And here's what it said in there. She came to the judge. He said, get her out of my court. And she came to the judge. She said, get her. And then it said, but she came again and she went, hi, judge, how you doing today? I'm so glad to see you. Are you here again? I told you to get out of my court. Get her out of here. Hey, judge, good morning. How are you doing? That's just the way the tape portrayed it. I saw it so clearly in my heart and mind when I was driving around in my car listening to these tapes. And finally, the judge says, she's here again? That's it. Give her whatever she wants. Just get her out of my court. Pray how? Pray persistently. Pray often. Pray passionately. Understand that our souls are at stake. In fact, the highest form of prayer is when others in the church realize there's people in this church, including the pastor and his family, that need prayer desperately for their safety and welfare. And those who are praying for other people are okay spiritually. Because they are focusing on the benefit for other people. I don't know how you saw this parable before, and I don't know how God does this when I write sermons. It's just incredible. But you know, the context is pray when? The last days. That's what we're in. Pray why? Pray why is because we have an adversary and God is the only one that can deliver us. By the way, you know one of the side issues here in this? It teaches you can't trust the world. Right? The unjust judge. You can't trust them. How many of you have been involved in a court case or had a friend involved in a court case that you know for sure it just was crooked? There's something wrong. So we only have one person to go to. And you may think the judge has the last word, but I'll tell you, the judge in heaven has the last word. Pray how? Pray persistently. What does 1 Thessalonians 5:17 say? Come on. 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Yes. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul comes out with a string of them. In which one of them is pray without ceasing. Three words, one text. And by the way, The verse before that says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we sing a song. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not a very good voice, but that's King James verbatim, and what a story it has to tell us. This is the will of God. And so, pray when? The last days. Pray why? Because God will deliver us. And pray how? Persistently. Look at this quote. I just had to share this with you because it just astounded me. Listen to this. It was Christ Himself who put into that mother's heart the persistence which would not be repulsed. It was Christ who gave the pleading widow courage and determination before the judge. It was Christ who centuries before, in the mysterious conflict by the Jabbok, had inspired Jacob with the same persevering faith. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then she writes, and the confidence which He Himself has implanted, He will not fail to reward. Mark that. Christ's object lesson 175. What a God we serve. We don't even have to invent the persistence. He'll put it in us. When does He put it in us? When we communicate with Him through the Bible, through prayer, and through sharing this message with other people. Finally, I wanted you to hear this. I wanted you to be encouraged. You know that story with Bill Hybels, that woman said, I'm a fool, I'm wasting my time. Listen to this. Never is one repulsed who comes to Jesus with a contrite heart. A drunk, an alcoholic, a prostitute, a pimp, a robber, a murderer. Never is one repulsed when he comes with a contrite heart. Not one single sincere prayer is lost. And then this is it. Amid the anthems of the celestial choir, God hears the cries of the weakest human being. Passionate, persistent prayer. Number four, prayer result. Let's look at the last verse, the last phrase. You have probably from the pulpit heard this often quoted. If you've ever read it yourself. He then ends by saying, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Now, I don't know about you, but my logic doesn't fit that text with that parable. But because of you people, thank you, Lord, I suddenly figured it out. At least, of course, the Bible's so deep there's a million ways to go. But it dawned on me. When He comes, He will find faith. And who are those people? Those people are practicing passionate, persistent prayer. Baron Karen von Blicken wrote the book in which they made the movie Out of Africa, featured a true story of a Danish noblewoman. She lived in Kenya as an owner of a large coffee plantation. There was a tribe known as the Kikuyu that Blixen had grown to love. And some of the Kikuyu lived on the part of her plantation. But as a result of financial obstacles that followed World War I, a worldwide depression, Blixen lost the plantation, including the part where the Kikuyu lived. The new landowner demonstrated no concern for the tribe at all. They only cared about the land. This lack of concern meant that the Kikuyu would be a tribe without a home. Vixen lacked the money to buy back the land that she had lost, so she tried to take her cause before the government agencies but they demonstrated the same lack of concern for the Kikui as the new landowners. Blixen did not give up, though. At a reception for the new governor of Kenya, she disregarded protocol by passing others in the crowd, going straight for the governor himself. Shamelessly, she fell on her knees, grabbed the governor's hand, and pleaded for the Kikui cause. Many around her were embarrassed at her action. Get up, get up, get off your feet, come here. And tried to get her up, but she just kept persisting that the governor look into this matter. Persistently, she pleaded that he give her his word. It was then that the governor's wife stood and said, "You have mine." And because of Blixen's persistence, she succeeded. We need to be people of passionate, persistent prayer. And our children need to learn how to pray passionately and persistently. Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of this hour. I want to thank you for the bent on this parable I had never seen before. You're amazing, God. The Bible is an amazing book. It has so much to offer that we don't even see. And Lord, I love these people. I love this church. And we make mistakes, but you have blessed us in spite of our faults and shortcomings, my faults and shortcomings. But Lord, it's now the last days. Will you help us to be more passionate and persistent in our prayers, that we would come together more often and we would petition your throne together in behalf of other people and other things, so that we can open the door wide and allow you to pour out from heaven blessings like we're not even able to handle. And it isn't because we want to prosper. It's because we want to be so close to you that your kingdom gets better because of our desire to allow you to work more fully. Don't let anybody in this congregation be discouraged, Lord. Encourage each one that no matter what they may need to give up or sacrifice, including me, you already gave up everything yourself before you asked us to give up anything ourselves. So bless each one. Strengthen us, Lord. And may our evangelism do an absolute miracle in your cause, for your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.